Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one-coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5-quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
Date, what moment made you fake an emergency to leave? Story 1. We met at a cafe downtown after talking on a dating app for a couple of weeks. Seemed normal at first. Decent smile, punctual, ordered a latte. 10 minutes in, he started ranting about how the government controls weather through satellites and how birds aren't real. I thought he was joking. Nope. He leaned in and whispered, "They replaced the birds in 2001, after 9/11. All drones now. Haven't you noticed how still pigeons are?" I smiled, nodded like I was fascinated, then reached for my phone. Oh my God, my roommate just texted me. Our plumbing burst and our kitchen is flooding. I have to go help mop it up. He offered to come help. I said, it's a two-person job, me and the plumber. Never replied to his follow-up texts. Story 2. He picked me up in his car and within 5 minutes on the highway, he told me he didn't believe in seatbelts because, if it's your time to die, it's your time. I nervously laughed, hoping he'd buckle up. He didn't. Then came the fun facts. He proudly admitted to being banned from 3 gyms for accidentally recording women in yoga pants. By the time we got to the restaurant, my skin was crawling. He went to the restroom and I grabbed my phone, called my best friend, and said loudly, "Hey, are you okay? Wait, what hospital? I'm coming now." I walked straight out, messaged him emergency, blocked his number, and took an Uber home. That dinner bill was the least he deserved. Story 3. She brought her dog. Not mentioned in the chat, not a service animal, just a full-grown husky who immediately started barking at the waiter and tried to eat off other patrons' plates. She laughed and said, "He's my emotional support alpha. He chooses who I date." Then she said, "He likes to sniff potential mates to see if they're honest." Before I could process, she snapped her fingers and gave the command. "Check him." The dog jumped up, pawed at my chest, and then peed on my shoe. She said, completely seriously, "Guess he doesn't trust you." I stood up, soaked sock and all, and told her my car was being towed outside. It wasn't. I just walked until I found a cab. Story 4. She seemed sweet online. When we met in person, she was oddly quiet. I tried asking questions, basic stuff. Hobbies, movies, siblings. She answered with one-word replies. 10 minutes in, I realized she wasn't shy. She was furious. Finally, she blurted, "You're not as hot as your pictures. I was hoping you'd be a catfish so I could rage post you." I blinked. Thanks? She pulled out her phone and started taking pictures of me without asking. "Smile for Reddit," she sneered. That's when I excused myself to the bathroom, left cash on the table, and texted her, "Family emergency. Hope you get your karma." Blocked her. Saw the post go viral 3 days later. The comments tore her apart. Story 5. The guy looked clean cut. Accountant, runner, normal. We went for drinks and I ordered a Moscow Mule. He asked the bartender to make it virgin. I said, "Oh no, it's okay. I want the real one." He leaned in and said, "I don't let my women drink." I blinked. "Your women?" He nodded. "It's important they remain pure in body and mind. You've got pretty eyes. You could be my second wife if you convert. I'll text my first one to see if she's okay with it." I laughed, thinking it was a bad joke. It wasn't. I faked a nosebleed, ran to the restroom, and slipped out through the kitchen exit. I have never walked faster in heels in my life. Story 6. We agreed to meet at a bookstore cafe, which was honestly my dream scenario. I got there early, sipping chai and flipping through a novel. He arrived 10 minutes late, sat down, and pulled out his phone without saying hi. No big deal. Maybe he had to wrap up a message. But then he kept scrolling, then chuckled, then typed, 5 full minutes. I said, "Hey," trying to break the ice. He looked up and said, "Hold on. I'm texting my ex. She's going through stuff." I nodded slowly, thinking, red flag, but okay. Then he added, "Also, just so you know, I still love her. But I think I could use a distraction." I sat there, stunned. He waved the waiter over and ordered for both of us without asking what I wanted. "She'll have a green tea," he said. "I hate green tea." While he looked down again, I texted my sister, "Call me with something urgent." 10 seconds later, my phone rang. "Car accident? Oh my God, I'm on my way." I didn't even take the tea. I ran. Story 7. We were 3 sips into our cocktails when he started talking about his ex. That's normal first date territory, until he showed me the urn. Yes, a literal urn. He carried his late ex-girlfriend's ashes in his backpack. "I bring her on all my dates," he said, gently stroking the metal. "If they don't feel her presence, it means it's not meant to be." I laughed nervously, thinking this had to be performance art or some TikTok prank. "Nope." He then placed it on the table, between our drinks. "She liked martinis," he whispered. I excused myself to the bathroom and walked straight to the parking garage. While waiting for my Uber, I got a text. "She likes you. She's quiet around people she doesn't." Blocked. Immediately. Story 8. He showed up with his mom. I don't mean he dropped her off nearby. I mean, she sat down with us at the table, ordered soup, and proceeded to interrogate me like I was applying for a mortgage. "Do you cook with olive oil or butter?" she asked. "Do your parents have debts? What's your fertility history?" I looked at him, wide-eyed, and he just said, "Sorry, she insists on meeting every girl first." I asked, "Is she staying the whole date?" He shrugged. "She'll just be here for the first hour." I stared at her. She smiled sweetly. "I brought your baby pictures," she told him, digging through her purse. I faked a text alert and whispered, "Emergency at work. So sorry." They both looked genuinely disappointed as I left. I wasn't. Story 9. She ordered 5 tequila shots before our menus even arrived. I was still trying to learn her last name. By the time appetizers hit the table, she had made 3 jokes about running over her ex's dog, not funny, called our waiter sexy boy 4 times, and tried to guess my body count, out loud, by analyzing my shirt. Then she said, "I hope you're cool with threesomes. I don't date men who can't perform under pressure. My ex and I, well, he never lasted." I just nodded, eyes wide, heart rate climbing. That's when she excused herself to the bathroom, and I used the brief silence to fake a phone call, loudly saying, "You're bleeding? I'm on my way." Didn't even wait for the check. I left a 20 on the table and ran. She texted me later saying, "You missed the good part." I'm still haunted. Story 10. We had a picnic in the park, his idea. Seemed sweet. He brought wine, a little speaker, even a small painting set, just in case we got inspired. Cute, right? Until he said, "You remind me of my sister." I laughed awkwardly, and he clarified, "No, like, exactly. Same hair, same body type. It's kind of hot." I tried to steer the conversation elsewhere. Then he started painting. I peeked over his shoulder and saw a nude female figure. I asked, "Is that me?" He replied, "No, my sister, but you're close enough." I grabbed my stuff, stood up, and said, "I just got my period. Gotta go." He tried to kiss my hand goodbye. I sprinted like I was being chased by wolves. Story 11. I showed up at the restaurant and spotted him immediately. Slicked back hair, white button-up shirt with just a bit too much chest showing. Okay, not a deal breaker. We sat down, ordered drinks, and things seemed fine for the first 15 minutes. Then he took out a binder. A literal binder. "I like to be efficient," he said. "This is the compatibility checklist I go through on first dates." I laughed, thinking it was a joke. It wasn't. He flipped to a page labeled Dietary Compliance and asked me to list everything I'd eaten in the past 48 hours. Then came Genetic History, where he wanted to know if mental illness ran in my family, because it affects long-term ROI in marriage. He even asked for a recent bank statement. I excused myself to the bathroom, climbed out the window, and ordered fries from a food truck down the street while texting my friend, "Never let me date someone who uses clipboards again." Story 12. We were walking along the beach after dinner, and it was going well, until he suddenly said, "I need to be honest. I'm actually not single." I stopped. "You're married?" He nodded. "But she's in a coma. So technically, it's not cheating. We have an understanding." I stared at him, speechless. Then he pulled out a necklace with a photo of her face and kissed it. "She said I should keep living. That's what I'm doing." I blinked. "When did she say that?" "Before the accident. But I felt her say it again in a dream." He offered to show me the dream journal. That's when I said my stomach hurt and I had to go lie down. He offered to come with me to channel her energy. I ran for my life. Story 13. I matched with this woman who seemed quirky in a fun way. We went to a rooftop bar and everything seemed okay. She ordered a weirdly specific cocktail, vodka, jalapeno, and pickle juice. But hey, to each their own. 10 minutes in, she pulled out a deck of tarot cards. Said she needed to check the energy before we went further. I played along. She pulled a few cards and gasped. "Oh no," she whispered. "Death. Reversed. That's really bad." She looked at me dead serious. "I think your aura might be cursed. Have you offended any spirits lately?" I didn't know how to respond. She leaned in closer and sniffed me. "You smell like betrayal." I muttered, "Oh, I forgot. I have to feed my neighbor's snake. It gets aggressive when it's hungry. She nodded solemnly like she understood. I left. She sent me an audio note that night chanting in Latin. I didn't listen to the whole thing. Story 14. We met at a bowling alley. He said it would be fun and casual. He brought his daughter, a 6-year-old girl in a tiara and glittery shoes. I thought, okay, maybe it's a co-parenting thing, or maybe he didn't have childcare. But he immediately handed me the kid's coat and said,
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
Can you help her tie her shoes? She likes women to do that. He then ordered nachos for himself and ignored us. After 10 minutes of awkward small talk with his child, I said, So you usually bring her on dates? He shrugged. She's my filter. She'll tell me if you're worth a second one. The girl stared at me and said, You smell like my teacher. I don't like my teacher. I smiled, patted her head and said, Well, your teacher's calling. She says I have to go now. I never replied to his follow-up message. You failed her test, sorry. Story 15. He seemed normal. Funny, smart, decent job. He took me to a Vietnamese place and we were mid-convo about favorite books when he suddenly said, Do you believe in reptilians? I thought he meant science fiction. He didn't. Like lizard people? I asked. He nodded. They're everywhere. In government. In the entertainment industry. They control the banks and the schools. I sipped my water and tried to change the subject. He leaned in. You have kind eyes. I don't think you're one of them. But I have to check. I blinked. Check. How? I need to shine a flashlight in your eyes and record your blink pattern. They can't mimic normal pupils. That's when I pulled my phone out, wide-eyed, and said, Oh no, my boss just texted. Our office is on fire. He nodded like he expected the reptiles to sabotage us. I walked out and blocked him mid-bite. Story 16. He invited me over to cook dinner together. I was into it. His place was clean. The ingredients were fresh and he had jazz playing in the background. Then I noticed something strange. He narrated everything he did in third person. As Derek dices the garlic, he contemplates the flavors of love. I giggled, thinking it was a bit. Nope. It continued. Derek feels the energy shift. He wonders if she appreciates the nuance of his risotto technique. I tried to talk to him normally, but he just paused and said, Derek is in his zone. Please don't disrupt the flow. Then, during dinner, he whispered to himself, This is where Derek leans in. This is Derek's moment. I faked a vibration on my phone and gasped. Oh no, my roommate's locked out and left the oven on. Gotta go! He nodded dramatically. Derek understands. Story 17. We'd only just sat down at the restaurant when he handed me a laminated contract. I thought it was a joke, but it had real terms. First date expectations, future financial roles, clauses about emotional labor, and mandatory compliments. I said, Is this serious? He replied, If you're not ready to negotiate a relationship like a business, you're not ready for long-term commitment. I skimmed the paper while sipping my water. There was a clause titled Social Media NDA. Another section required me to delete all photos with male friends within 48 hours of the date. I don't share what's mine, he said. I looked him straight in the eye and said, I just remembered I left my curling iron on. He offered to walk me home to unplug it. I told him it was self-aware and could turn itself off. He looked confused. I left without dessert. Story 18. We met at a local art gallery. She showed up wearing an elegant black dress and immediately started criticizing every piece we passed. This is derivative. That's garbage. This question mark. A toddler with glue could do better. Okay, maybe she had opinions. But then she started lecturing strangers. A couple admiring a sculpture were told they had no taste and should be ashamed of their ignorance. I tried to shift her attention. So what kind of art do you actually like? She looked at me and said, Only mine. Then she pulled out her phone and showed me a photo of a blank canvas. This sold for $3,000. It represents the void of modern society. She wasn't joking. That's when I told her my sister was texting me about a sudden allergic reaction. I left her monologuing to a confused security guard. Story 19. I arrived at the bar and he was already 2 beers in. Not ideal, but fine. We chatted for a bit and then he said, So I brought something special. He pulled out a mini microphone from his pocket. I like to record all my conversations. It's for personal growth. I stared. Are you recording this? He grinned. Of course. I'm working on a podcast, Dating in Real Time. I asked, did you get my permission? He laughed. If it's public, it's fair game. Plus, you look cute on audio. I told him I wasn't comfortable. He said, don't worry. I'll edit out anything embarrassing. Probably. I said I had to go help a friend who just burned herself with hot glue. He offered to come and record that too. I bolted. Story 20. She said she loved animals, so we went to a pet-friendly cafe. She brought her own cat. In a backpack with a window. Okay. A bit much, but cool. We ordered drinks, and she unzipped the backpack so her cat could sit on the table. I asked, does the cafe allow pets on the table? She replied, Fluffball isn't a pet. He's my soulmate. She fed him whipped cream off a spoon. Then, staring deep into his eyes, she whispered, he tells me things. About people. I laughed nervously, thinking it was a bit. Then she turned to me and said, he doesn't like you. He says your energy's off. I blinked. You talk to your cat? No, she said. He talks through me. That's when I got a text about my landlord falling through the ceiling. I excused myself and left her mid-meow. Story 21. We met at a small sushi place. He seemed a bit nervous, which I expected. It was his first date in a while. We ordered drinks, made small talk. But halfway through his miso soup, he blurted out, I used to be in a cult. I paused. Used to be? He smiled. Well, technically, I still pay dues. But I'm on the fringe now. I just get the newsletters. He went on to explain that the group believed humans evolved from dolphins and that water dreams were signs of past life regression. He asked if I'd ever dreamt of gills. Then he leaned closer and whispered, you have aquatic eyes. I can feel your soul resonance. I pulled out my phone, pretending to be stunned. My boss is locked inside our office building. I have the only spare key. I have to go. He nodded solemnly and said, your energy is needed elsewhere. Story 22. We went for ice cream. Seemed innocent enough. She was cute, funny, and passionate about animals. But then she asked, what's your star sign? I told her. She froze. Oh, she said flatly, a Taurus. I chuckled. Is that bad? She pulled out her phone and opened an astrology app with red alerts. Your Saturn is in my destructive quadrant. Our energies are incompatible. Like, dangerously. I tried to joke about it, but she started tearing up. This always happens. The charts warned me not to date Earth signs this month. I offered to change the subject. She shook her head. I can't go through another energetic betrayal. Not again. I faked a call, held my phone to my ear, and said, wait, Grandma's stuck in the elevator? Again? And walked off into the night while she frantically calculated our birth chart overlays. Story 23. He picked me up in a vintage car, played 80s rock, and said he wanted to take me to a spot with real vibes. We pulled up to a graveyard. I thought he was kidding. He wasn't. We sat on a stone bench next to a crumbling headstone, and he pulled out a small speaker playing ambient funeral music. I like to get to know people in places where souls are honest, he said. I was creeped out but stayed polite. Then he brought out two glasses of red wine and a black candle. Let's see if any spirits approve of our connection. I muttered something about needing the restroom and started walking toward the gate. He called after me. Wait! You haven't heard my dead aunt's opinion yet. Never replied to the three voice notes he sent me afterward, all of which included whispering in Latin. Story 24. We agreed to go to an escape room as a fun, interactive first date. At first, it was exciting. Clues, hidden compartments, fake smoke. But 5 minutes in, he flipped a switch I didn't expect. He became insanely competitive. Not playful competitive, scary competitive. Don't touch anything unless I say, he snapped. I laughed nervously. It's just a game. He turned red. You're ruining the flow. This is about precision. He shoved me aside to solve a math puzzle and muttered, women always mess these up. When I solved a riddle on the wall before he did, he grabbed the clue and said, you probably got lucky. I stood there in disbelief as he kicked a fake skull across the room and shouted, this is rigged. I faked a coughing fit and said I had a bronchial flare-up and couldn't be around the fog machine. I left before he could challenge the employee to a rematch. Story 25. He invited me to his place for takeout and a movie. We had chatted for weeks and I felt pretty comfortable. I got there, and everything seemed cozy. Candles, clean kitchen, food already set out. Then he said, before we eat, we need to do the ritual. I thought he meant grace. He opened a drawer and pulled out a hand-carved mask, a bowl of herbs, and a wooden staff. I channel the ancestral hunger. It helps with digestion. I stared in stunned silence as he danced in a circle around the table, chanting something that sounded vaguely Icelandic. Then he offered me the mask. "Your turn." I smiled and said, "Actually, I'm allergic to sage smoke, and probably ancient rituals. Sorry." He offered me a blessing almond for the road. I took it and ran. Story 26. We matched over a shared love of poetry and agreed to meet at a spoken word open mic. Cool vibe, candles, mellow music. But before we even ordered drinks, he handed me a notebook full of poems. His poems. "I want you to read these now," he said. "They'll explain who I am." The first was a 9-page free verse epic titled "The Womb of the Moon Mother." The second was about how corporate jobs murder the masculine soul. I tried to smile and said I'd finish reading them later. He shook his head. "No, read them with me, out loud. One line each. It's how I connect." I got halfway through a line that said, "I lactate light from the scars of capitalism," and realized I was not spiritually strong enough for this. I whispered, "Oh no, my friend just got dumped. I need to go. She's spiraling." He asked if he could come along to soothe her wounds with language. I ran. Story 27. We were at a bowling alley, which felt nostalgic and fun, until he casually mentioned, "By the way, my parole officer might call." I froze mid-sip. "Sorry, what?" He grinned. "Nothing big. Just an ankle monitor thing. It's off for now." "Technically?" I glanced under the table. No monitor in sight, but he could see the alarm in my face. "Don't worry. I only pled guilty because the judge was a jerk." "Self-defense." "Kind of." Then he proceeded to list all the times he'd been wrongly accused. One story involved a car fire. Another had something to do with a misunderstanding at a Walmart. I texted my cousin, "Call me. Make it dramatic." 10 seconds later, "Your ex is at your apartment? With your cat?" He offered to go with me to protect my property. I said, "No need. I own a baseball bat." Story 28. She picked the place, some fusion place that served sushi burritos. When I got there, she was already seated and live streaming. "Hey, besties." She waved to her phone. "This is my date. Say hi to the followers." I awkwardly smiled at a stream of emojis flying up the screen. "Don't mind them," she whispered. "They're invested in my love life. It's kind of interactive. Every move we made, ordering, sipping water, even our small talk, was being watched and critiqued in real time." I said, "Would you mind turning it off?" She blinked. "Oh no, I'm contractually obligated to stream dates. It's sponsored." I checked her page later. The title of the stream? "Blind Date. With a 6.5 out of 10, let's see if he earns dessert." I faked a work emergency and left during her Instagram story recap. Story 29. He invited me over for homemade cocktails and a vibe. I brought a small dessert. He opened the door, shirtless, wearing only velvet pants and a massive crystal necklace. His place looked like a thrift store exploded. Beads, incense, neon lights, dream catchers, and a large painted mural of what looked like him riding a tiger. He handed me a drink that smelled like licorice and sadness, then put on experimental jazz at full volume. "I don't do small talk," he said. "Let's jump into shadow work. What's your deepest regret?" I said something vague. He leaned closer and whispered, "I killed a hamster once, on purpose. I was 5. I nodded slowly, stood up and said, "I think I left my oven on." He whispered, "The fire inside you is real." Story 30. It started as a simple coffee date. We chatted about travel, books, the usual stuff. Then I mentioned I had a rescue dog. "Oh," she said, "I don't believe in owning animals." I asked, "Like, ethically?" "No," she replied. "I think they're government spies. Especially dogs. They're always watching." I laughed, until she showed me a printed pamphlet titled "Domesticated Surveillance, the Pet Agenda." She pointed at my phone and said, "Your dog probably already tagged your location." I stood up and said, "Actually, my dog's texting me right now. He's hungry and worried." She nodded slowly. "They're clever. Feed him, or he might report you." Story 31. I matched with a guy who seemed really into food. His profile had pictures of truffle pasta, perfectly plated sushi, even a few fancy wine pairings. So when he invited me over for a culinary experience, I was intrigued. I arrived to find him wearing a chef's hat. Not ironically, like a full, tall, white toque. He greeted me with, "Welcome to Chez Moi," and handed me a hand-drawn tasting menu titled "Sensual Bites with Chef X." It was laminated. He dimmed the lights, played instrumental flamenco, and served the first course, which was a single grape. "To awaken the tongue," he said. "The next course? A spoonful of canned corn. I asked. Is this a joke? He looked offended. That corn was hand-selected for emotional warmth. Then came the pièce de résistance, frozen fish sticks, arranged in the shape of a heart. I honestly might have stayed for the comedy, but then he said, dessert is body chocolate, and I am the plate. I stood up so fast the folding chair squeaked. I just got a text. My friend's appendix might be bursting. Tell her to wait, he purred. Nope, I said. You'll need the plate for someone else. Story 32. He picked me up in a giant truck blasting country rap. I don't judge music tastes, but he kept turning it up every time I tried to talk. When we got to the diner, he told me he didn't believe in tipping because capitalism is already theft. Okay, whatever. I tried to steer the conversation towards something neutral, like pets. He launched into a 20-minute monologue about how he used to raise lizards to train them for battle. I thought he meant he entered them into competitions or something. Nope. I made tiny armor for them out of bottle caps, he said proudly. Sir Scales a Lot was my strongest. Took out three others before he passed. I nodded, trying to hide my panic. Then came the moment. He took my hand, looked deeply into my eyes, and said, I feel like you have strong breeder energy. I mean that as a compliment. I slowly pulled my hand away, pretended to check my phone, and said, oh no, my cousin's water just broke. Early labor. I have to go. He nodded solemnly. Bring her lizard strength. Story 33. We agreed to go hiking. I liked the idea. Low pressure, fresh air, and he seemed fit. What he didn't tell me was that his version of a light hike was 6 miles uphill in direct sun with no water. I showed up in sneakers and leggings. He wore full camo gear, hiking boots, and brought a GoPro strapped to his chest. Say hi to the followers, he said. You're the third girl this month. Apparently, he ran a YouTube channel called Dating in the Wild, where he took women on hikes and reviewed their performance like he was evaluating soldiers. I asked if they consented to being filmed. He shrugged. Some don't find out until later. It's raw footage. I said I needed a bathroom. Just go in the bushes, he grinned. Instead, I called an Uber from the trailhead and walked the entire 2 miles back down while pretending to cry so no one would ask questions. Blocked, reported, never again. Story 34. She invited me over to watch movies and vibe. We'd had great conversations online. Books, travel, philosophy. I was excited. The second I walked in, I noticed the walls were covered in post-it notes. Hundreds of them. Each one had a rule written on it. Don't touch the Red Bull. Sit only on the left cushion. Do not mention horses. She welcomed me in like it was totally normal. I tried to laugh, asking what it was all about. I live by structure, she said, dead serious. Every time I get anxious, I add a rule. Keeps the chaos out. I sat down on the correct cushion. She offered me water and then paused. You didn't bring scissors, did you? No. Why? They don't like scissors. She pointed toward the kitchen, where there was a shrine made of cereal boxes and yarn. At that moment, I remembered I had left something in my car. My imaginary inhaler. I thanked her for the water, went out to get it, and just kept walking. Blocked her on the way home. Still think about that shrine sometimes. Story 35. He seemed like a gentle giant. Big guy. Soft voice. Lots of messages about loving nature and his garden. When he invited me over for lunch, I didn't expect anything fancy. But when I walked into his house, I realized it was silent. No TV, no music, no ambient noise. He shushed me when I said hello. They're listening, he whispered. He meant his plants. He had names for all of them. Hundreds. Ferns, cacti, hanging ivy. Each one had a small photograph attached to the pot of someone they'd chosen. Some photos were celebrities. Some were unclear. Ever since my basil told me about the fire, he said, I've stopped eating anything green. It's disrespectful. He handed me a plate of white rice and boiled tofu. You're safe with this. I took one bite and said I felt nauseous. He offered to get a plant to bless my digestive system. I ran. Quietly, of course. Story 36. He asked if I was okay with something a little different for our first date. I said sure, thinking he meant something casual or quirky. We met at a parking lot. No restaurant in sight. Just him, standing next to a white van with blacked-out windows. Hop in, he said cheerfully. We're doing a sensory deprivation date. I thought he was joking. He opened the back of the van and showed me two inflatable kiddie pools lined with tinfoil, filled with lukewarm salt water. DIY float tanks, he explained. Built them myself, I asked. So, you want us to float in these? Together? Separate tubs, he said. But spiritually, we'll be in sync. I said I had just remembered I was allergic to salt water. Or vans. Or both. He seemed genuinely disappointed as I backed away toward my car. You're going to miss the third eye opening, he called after me. I'll live with that. Story 37. We met at a board game cafe, which sounded fun and low-key. But he brought his own game, a homemade trivia deck about himself. The first card, what is my favorite condiment? Second card, how old was I when I lost my virginity? Third, which of my cousins have betrayed me? He insisted I answer before we could order food. The game builds emotional intimacy, he said. I tried to change the subject, but he was relentless. Just guess. You'll feel closer to me. I picked mustard for the condiment question. Wrong. He looked personally insulted. I'm a sriracha man. Wow. When I asked if we could just play something else, he crossed his arms and said, if you're not willing to put in effort, why are you even here? I excused myself, pretending to go to the bathroom. Walked right past the counter and into the street. Heard him yell, you didn't even get to the lightning round. Story 38. We met at a jazz club. He ordered us both old fashions, then leaned in and said, just so you know, I'm on the run from the IRS. I laughed. He didn't. He told me he disagreed with tax as a concept and hadn't filed anything in 7 years. Claimed he once lived in a cave in Utah to avoid the grid. I tried to keep things polite until he pulled out a manila folder from his backpack and slid it across the table. Inside were printouts of conspiracies he believed in. The IRS was just the beginning. He also thought pigeons were cameras, the moon was hollow, and Taylor Swift was a sentient AI experiment. Don't look now, he whispered, but that waiter might be wired. That's when I stood up and said, I left my car running. For warmth. It's freezing outside. He nodded solemnly. They track cold signatures. Smart move. I walked a full block before ordering my ride. Story 39. He seemed incredibly sweet online. Funny, shy, lots of photos with books and cats. So when we went out for lunch, I was genuinely looking forward to it. It started off fine. He was a little quiet but polite. Then the waiter came and he ordered for both of us. I'll have the chicken sandwich. She'll have the kale salad with no dressing. I looked at him. Excuse me? You'll thank me. You mentioned you were trying to eat better, remember? I hadn't. Throughout the meal, he commented on what I wore. Brave to go sleeveless this early in spring? How I chewed? You're a left side biter, that's rare. And even asked me to smile more so I could light up the room. I fake laughed and checked my phone. Sent a quick help to my roommate. 2 minutes later, my phone rang. Emergency at the apartment, I said. Water leak. Total disaster. He sighed. Typical modern woman. Can't even finish a date. I didn't even finish my salad. Story 40. We met at a brewery. He seemed normal. Funny, dressed well, a little intense, but nothing too off. Then, halfway through his beer, he pulled out his phone and said, I have something to show you, but you have to promise not to freak out. Red flag, obviously. But curiosity won. He opened his gallery and showed me a series of elaborate digital art pieces. Portraits of me. I was stunned. Wait, how did you? He smiled. AI. I've been feeding our chats into a generator to imagine what our kids might look like. You're beautiful with a baby bump, by the way. I blinked, unsure how to respond. He continued swiping. One of us on a beach, another of me in a wedding dress. One where I was breastfeeding twins. That's when I pretended to get a Slack ping. Oh no, work crisis. Gotta go solve capitalism real quick. He texted me later. The AI says you're emotionally unavailable. Blocked. Story 41. He invited me to a small local improv show. I was excited. It felt creative and different. What he failed to mention was that he was one of the performers, and not just in the show, but the entire show. It wasn't really improv. It was a one-man performance titled Love a Battlefield, where he played every character in a dramatized version of his past relationships. It went on for 45 minutes. He screamed. He cried. He danced. There was even a scene where he pretended to give birth to emotional honesty. I was stuck in the front row while he fake argued with invisible exes. At one point, he pointed directly at me and shouted, "You don't get to walk away this time, Shannon." "I'm not Shannon." When the lights dimmed for a dramatic blackout, I slipped out the side door and never looked back. Story 42. She invited me to a tea shop and showed up wearing a long cloak and carrying a wooden staff. I thought maybe it was a costume party I missed the memo for, but nope. She sat down, took my hand and said, "Before we proceed, I need to determine your elemental alignment." She pulled out polished stones and crystals, arranged them into a star shape, then closed her eyes and whispered something that sounded vaguely elvish. The waitress came to take our order. She said, "He'll have the earth root brew. He has grounding energy. but also signs of fire. Dangerous fire. I asked if she was joking. She opened her eyes and said, "You are either my soulmate or my destroyer. We'll know by moonrise." I told her my dog had swallowed a sock and I needed to get to the vet. She kissed my palm and said, "May your companion pass the cloth of fate." Story 43. He picked the weirdest restaurant. A themed prison diner where the waitstaff wore fake handcuffs and served food through metal bars. I figured maybe he liked novelty, but then he said, "This reminds me of the real thing." I thought he meant he liked the show Prison Break. Nope. He started casually describing his actual time in jail, pausing to rate the food compared to what we had in cell block B. When I tried to pivot, he steered it back. Tuna casserole was Wednesday. "This smells like that. PTSD, but tasty." Then he pulled out a deck of cards and said, "Wanna play poker?" I brought my prison deck, made it myself out of soap wrappers. That's when I texted my friend to call me and pretend someone had broken into my apartment. He said, "You better hope your locks are better than mine were." Story 44. We went to a museum. She seemed smart, witty, well-dressed. I was genuinely impressed. Until we got to a room with Renaissance paintings and she suddenly froze. "This one speaks to me," she whispered. It was a portrait of a 15th century noblewoman. She was me. In a past life, her name was Elisabetta. I nodded politely. She stepped closer to the painting and said, "You were there too. You were the blacksmith who loved me in secret." I said, "I've never even been to Europe." She frowned. "Your soul has. Don't be so dense." Then she insisted we reenact our final conversation before her tragic poisoning. Right there, in front of tourists, she knelt, cried, and dramatically shouted, "Forgive me, dear hammer man." I told her I had a severe nut allergy and needed to check the museum cafe for cross-contamination. She handed me an amulet and said, "It will protect you in this life. I still have it. Just in case." Story 45. He took me mini-golfing. Seemed like a fun, low-pressure first date. But by the second hole, I realized he was dead serious about winning. He brought his own custom putter and wore a glove with his initials on it. I made a joke about Happy Gilmore and he didn't laugh. "That movie makes a mockery of the sport," he muttered. He kept a scorecard not just for points, but also for style deductions. If I giggled during a swing, he marked it. If I hit the ball too hard, he tisked. At one point, he called over the teenager working the register and demanded they penalize the course for uneven terrain. Then came hole 8, which had a windmill. He got stuck trying to time his shot and screamed, "You dare mock me?" I took a picture of the scoreboard, pretended it was my boss calling, and said, "They need me back at the office. Emergency PowerPoint." "Sorry." He offered to drive me. I said I needed to reflect alone on my handicap. Story 46. He took me to an all-you-can-eat buffet. Not my first choice, but I went with it. We got our food, sat down, and I was about to start eating when he pulled out his phone and said, "Okay, I'm going to record now." "Sorry, record what?" "My YouTube food review. I rate everything. I'll need you to be quiet during the crunch test." He hit record, took a bite of chicken, closed his eyes and whispered, "Texture? Arpulir. Emotionally? Lacking. Vibe? Mid." I was stunned. He continued, reviewed the mac and cheese like it was fine wine. Then he turned the camera toward me and said, "Tell the audience your thoughts on the shrimp." I wasn't even eating shrimp. When I refused, he paused the video and said, "You're ruining the content. I brought you here because I thought you had face camera charisma." I said I forgot I left my oven on. He actually rolled his eyes. That excuse is so overused. Yeah, because it works. Story 47. We met at a cozy Italian place, and right from the start, he seemed agitated, fidgeting, constantly glancing at the door. I asked if he was expecting someone. He leaned in and whispered, "My ex might show up." I told her I was done, but she still thinks we're soulbound. I nervously laughed. "He didn't," he added. "I also told her I'd be here tonight. I need her to see me moving on. She might throw something. Don't flinch. It gives her power." I looked around. "Is that safe? She's only violent when provoked. If she breaks in, just scream, 'Control your aura.' It usually stuns her." I stared at him. "Why would you invite me here knowing this?" He smiled. "Dating's about risk. Besides, you seem sturdy." I said my dog texted me from the groomer and something had gone horribly wrong. He nodded like that made perfect sense. Story 48. She invited me over for brunch at her apartment. Everything seemed chill. Avocado toast, fresh squeezed juice, nice playlist in the background. Then she said, "Before we eat, I have to do my pre-meal ritual. You're welcome to join." I said, "Sure," thinking it was maybe a prayer or intention setting. She turned off the lights, lit a candle, and put on a recorded chant of herself humming in different pitches. Then she stood in front of the table and began shouting affirmations at the food. I am worthy of this sourdough. My energy blesses this egg. I stood there frozen. She turned to me and said, If you don't speak to your food, it won't nourish you. I said I'd just remembered I had a Zoom call. She said, It's Sunday. I replied, That's when the spiritually weak attack. I must go. She handed me a beetroot crystal on my way out for protection. I still don't know what to do with it. Story 49. He seemed normal until we got into the car. Then he started playing his own mixtape. Not just casually. He turned the volume all the way up, nodded along, and stared at me after every verse. This track's about my inner rage, he said, as a beat dropped, and he rapped about fighting mall cops and breaking vending machines. When we got to the burger joint, he made the server wait 5 minutes while he adjusted the lighting to record our date for a TikTok series he was doing called Real Love with Real Ones. Then he asked the server to take action shots of him feeding me fries. When I said I wasn't comfortable being filmed, he looked offended. Come on, don't block the clout. I told him I just remembered I was allergic to social media validation. He didn't get it. Story 50. She asked to meet at a bookstore. Cool. Nerdy date vibes. We wandered through aisles, chatted about fiction, and I was honestly vibing until she suggested we play a game. Let's each pick a book that represents our future together. Cute idea. Until she came back with a copy of The Complete Baby Name Encyclopedia and How to Raise Emotionally Resilient Children. I laughed nervously. She didn't. She said, I already feel connected to you. I can't ignore my gut anymore. Then she asked me how I felt about unassisted home birth. I said I needed to run to the restroom and slipped out the emergency exit. She texted later saying I left behind a sacred energy trail. Yeah, that was fear. Story 51. She invited me to a quiet rooftop dinner at her apartment building. I imagined wine, fairy lights, maybe a cozy blanket. Instead, I was greeted by her entire extended family. Aunts, uncles, two grandparents, and at least one baby named Maverick. Confused, I asked, What's going on? She said, Every first date is a family affair. If they don't approve, there's no point in continuing. I thought she was joking, until her grandma pulled me aside with a clipboard titled Suitability Matrix. Questions included. Do you own land? Would you take her last name? How do you feel about mandatory Sunday dinners? I said I needed to grab something from my car. She smiled and whispered, Don't take too long. Grandpa's almost done praying over your future. I bolted. Story 52. We agreed to meet at a dog park. I don't have a dog, but he insisted it would be a chill vibe. When I arrived, he was already there, with five chihuahuas, all dressed in tiny matching tracksuits. He introduced them like a proud father. This is Macho, Nacho, Sriracha, Apache, and Greg. Greg was missing an eye. The others barked incessantly. They're very protective, he said, so don't make any sudden moves. I tried to sit, but Sriracha lunged at my ankle. Greg growled like I owed him money. My date handed me a squeaky toy and said, Just shake this and yell Alpha Yields if they get hostile. I nodded slowly, stood up and said, Oh no, I just remembered my cat's funeral is today. He bowed his head solemnly. Tell her the boys say goodbye. Story 53. He was charming online, clever, well-read, talked a lot about mindfulness and inner peace. But when we met at the vegan cafe, he pulled out a deck of index cards labeled Trauma Talk. These are my conversational prompts, he explained. I like to go deep early. The first card said, Describe your childhood fear using only kitchen metaphors. I laughed, thinking it was performance art. It wasn't. He went on. If your last heartbreak was a spice, what would it be? Why? Describe the taste. I made something up about paprika. He nodded seriously and took notes. Literal notes. In a little green journal labeled Emotional Blueprints Volume, Uchunju, after card number 7, which said, Act out the last time you cried, I said my car alarm was going off and ran. Story 54. We were at a rooftop bar. The view was amazing, and the first 20 minutes were actually kind of great. Then he asked if I wanted to play a trust game. I said sure, thinking it would be like answering silly questions. Instead, he pulled out a folded contract and said, This is a temporary relationship agreement. For the next 3 hours, we agree to be emotionally monogamous. I blinked. Is this legally binding? No, he smiled, but it sets intention. The contract had real clauses. No checking phones, no sarcasm, and a mandatory eye contact duration of at least 10 seconds per emotional sentence. I said, I need to use the restroom. And he replied, Clause 4, No disappearing. I said, amendment, emergency override, and walked out. Story 55. She took me to a farmer's market. We were walking, sipping cider, chatting about random stuff, when she suddenly stopped at a stall selling beeswax candles and said, I used to be a candle in a past life. I said, like, metaphorically? Number, literally. Wick and all. I nodded slowly. Okay. Then she began crying. Real tears. I just remembered the fire. The melting. The screams. I had so much purpose and then poof, snuffed out. The vendor looked horrified. I whispered, we can go sit down if you need a second. She wiped her eyes and said, I think you were the match. You lit me. I feel it. I told her my roommate had just texted. There was a gas leak in our apartment. She touched my hand and whispered, not again. Story 56. We met at a park for a casual afternoon picnic. I brought a blanket. He brought food. All was normal until he opened the basket. Inside were 6 plastic containers, all labeled with his ex's name. This was Amanda's favorite pasta salad, he said, handing it to me. I make it every...
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get 2 select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
Sunday. Tradition. I raised an eyebrow. He continued. This sandwich? Her lunch order. Down to the pickle. And this? He held up a brownie. Was the first dessert we ever shared. I tried to play it cool. So you still eat like her? Eat like her. Dress like her. Sleep on her side of the bed. The body moves on, but the soul lingers. Then he pulled out his phone and showed me a memorial playlist that he insisted we play while eating. The first song was Unchained Melody. I told him I forgot to feed my pet turtle. He nodded solemnly and whispered, cherish what you have until it's gone. Story 57. He invited me to a karaoke bar. Sounded fun, harmless, maybe even flirty. When I got there, he was already on stage, singing My Heart Will Go On in full Titanic costume. He wore a hand-stitched tux, a rose in his lapel, and a life jacket strapped loosely to his back. The audience was confused. I was mortified. When he spotted me, he dropped to one knee mid-verse and shouted, My rose has arrived! I clapped awkwardly and sat in the back. After his song, he came over and handed me a necklace with a plastic blue pendant. The heart of the ocean, he whispered. It's symbolic. I said I wasn't feeling well and needed some air. He followed me outside and tried to recreate the ship railing pose. I told him my Uber had just exploded and I needed to walk home to reflect. He saluted. Never let go. Story 58. We went to a local bar. Within minutes, he started ordering shots for strangers and introducing me as his future fiancé. One guy asked how long we'd been dating. He said, 10 magical minutes. I laughed it off, but he kept going. Told the bartender we were celebrating our one-day anniversary. When I asked him to tone it down, he slid a cheap ring across the table and whispered, I bought this on the way here, in case sparks flew. I stared at the fake diamond, then at him. I'm not saying we get married tomorrow, he said, but I do have the weekend free if you want to elope. I excused myself to use the bathroom and left through the kitchen. He texted, still waiting for you to come back and say yes. I blocked him before he could propose to the bartender. Story 59. She was gorgeous, charming, and smart. We met at a retro diner. As we sat down, she said, just a heads up, I bring my therapist on all first dates. I thought she was joking. Then she turned her phone screen toward me. A Zoom call was in progress. A woman in glasses waved. This is Dr. Leela. She's muted for now, but observing. If anything gets emotionally charged, she'll step in. I laughed nervously. You're serious? She nodded. I have attachment style complications. This helps. When I tried to make conversation, she glanced at the screen frequently and asked, do you think I'm oversharing? Doctor. Leela raised her eyebrow. I said my brother had just texted. He got stung by a jellyfish and I needed to bring him vinegar. She looked at her therapist and said, "He's dissociating." I dissociated all the way to the exit. Story 60. We met at a dive bar with arcade games. I was halfway through my beer when he said, "Do you believe in past life debt?" I said, "Like karma?" "No," he replied. "Like literal debt. You owe me from the 1700s. I blinked. He went on to explain that, based on a psychic's reading, I was a baker's wife in a past life and I had borrowed money from him for flour. It was 20 shillings, he said. With interest, that's about $870 today. I stared at him. "I don't want to make it weird," he added, "but I have Venmo." I laughed. He didn't. Then he tried to barter for a free round of drinks by telling the bartender I owed him from another timeline. I told him I needed to go call my ancestors for legal advice. Never went back.